History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sean Marash time on CBS Sports Radio.
Let's go, North America. Welcome inside the Porch Store. It is the Sean Marash Show on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. I am fired up tonight. McKeon and Graceffo with me on the other side of the glass. To me, and I know this isn't an argument I want to have on the phones because this is like doing Mount Rushmore radio, so I'm just going to put this out there. This is one of my five favorite weekends of the sports year. When you include the fact that you get all the conference championship stuff, so you get a Thursday night game where the Cowboys absolutely are dismal and collapse, and Cowboy fans, I'll hear you crying at 855-212-4227. You parlay that into a Pac-12 championship on Friday that I know ended up being a bit of a letdown, but still a surprise. All the goodness that comes with conference championship Saturday. And then when you hit December in the NFL, as we do on this NFL Sunday that's coming up, monster games where contenders try to separate themselves, including the Ravens and the Bills, including the Saints and 49ers, including the Patriots and Chiefs. Then, of course, you get the Rams dipping their toes as they are one game out behind the Vikings in a big Sunday night affair. Oh, and then I guess the weekend ends with a dud because we have to watch the Giants get obliterated by the Eagles. And don't give me none of this nonsense about Eli Manning magic. The Eli Manning I know loses to the Eagles every time he plays them. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, and that is my own biases coming out. This is one of the top five sports weekends of the year. You throw in a little MLB hot stove as well, Garrett Cole rumors, NBA, NHL backdrop. And it's one of those, unless you're working, and maybe some of you are working right now, your truck drivers, your Uber drivers, your Lyft drivers. I know it's a big Christmas party weekend, holiday party weekend. You're picking up, you're dropping off, and that's where you have us locked on CBS Sports Radio on many of our great affiliates or SiriusXM 206 or the radio.com app. Thank you for being here. But unless you're working, it's one of those, I am going to park my ass on the couch. I'm going to grab my remote, unless I'm 19 years old and now I need to cut cords like everybody seems to be doing. But I'm going to grab my remote, old-fashioned cable style, little DirecTV, recliner up, bag of chips, you know, couple iced teas, let's call them. And I'm going to enjoy the games. And I did that for the last 48, 72 hours, whatever it is. And when you get that consumed with football, your mind starts racing. Your mind starts marinating. What you maybe go into a weekend excited for sports about is not what you will exit the weekend thinking about. And I think that really is where I want to begin tonight's show when considering the college football playoff. When Thursday night hit and we watched the Cowboys get dismantled by Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears, and we had fun laughing at the Cowboys' expense, while all that was going on and we were looking ahead to this weekend in college football, the main debate and the main topic of discussion air on the weekend was who will be the final team, the final entrant into the college football playoff. You watch Utah get their ass handed to them by Justin Herbert and Oregon. You watch Baylor down to a third-string quarterback. Oklahoma still struggle with them. Oklahoma ends up finding a way to win the game in overtime. They look like they're going to be the last team standing. And then you watch Georgia get, let's just call it, executed in the SEC title game. And I think as you wake up, as we are now under 10 hours away from the final installment of the college football rankings, finally, all the nonsense that is a television show every week will be put to rest. We will just know who we are getting in the playoff. I don't think there is a soul in America outside of any fan of Oklahoma that is going to wake up on Sunday morning and be pumped up to see who the fourth team is in the college football playoff. Nobody cares anymore. When you enter the weekend caring so much, you will leave the weekend not caring. And we will get to this later in the show because there is a large portion of the college football fan base, and maybe not large is the wrong word, but there is a portion of the college football fan base that will pound their chest and puff out their chest and point to this season and point to the three unbeatens and point to the fact that I am sitting here telling you nobody cares about the fourth team in the playoff now as a reason why college football playoff expansion is stupid. I will discuss why you're an idiot if you think that, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's the case. But in this rare year where there are three unbeatens and three clear-cut best teams in college football, the fourth team really doesn't matter so much. When every year the college football semifinals seem to always have games that are blowouts, that doesn't really matter as much who the fourth team is. What now matters, as we wake up on December 8th, 2019, if you're still on the West Coast, it's December 7th, as we wake up, what matters now more than ever before in the previous years of the college football playoff is who the one seed is. Who will be the top dog? And why that matters is because we are under a college football situation, a season that we have not seen since 2004, with three unbeaten, awesome teams. But at least in 2004 there was no playoff. And Auburn, an unbeaten SEC team, which is insane to think of now, an unbeaten SEC team not having a chance to play for a national championship, did not have that chance. They did not get to the playoff. We don't have to worry about that because all three unbeatens are going to get there. But out of the unbeatens, determining who is the best of the unbeatens entering the college football playoff is now severely significant. Because I think enough proof is in the pudding that whoever that fourth team is in the college football playoff, and yes, I am going to advocate for expansion later in the show, so I understand upsets can happen. But it does seem like these are so overwhelmingly the dominant teams that who the fourth team doesn't matter. So who the one seed matters, because the one seed will play Oklahoma in all likelihood, while the two seed will play the three seed. And you have to be safe to assume, based on strength of schedule, Clemson has no shot at the one, even though they might be the best team in the nation. Ohio State entering this weekend as the one in the college football playoff meant all they had to do was not screw it up. You would think, hey, you win, you're already the one, you've done nothing to hurt your case. Only the worst possible scenario that didn't involve Ohio State losing happened for Ohio State. They were down 21-7 at the half versus a Wisconsin team they had already seen and beaten this year. They came back to win a game by two scores and put their foots on the throat in the second half on Wisconsin. But unfortunately, unlike simply counting standings and doing anything else you would do in professional sports, we are relying on a committee of people and their eye test to tell the story. And week after week, when the college football playoff rankings came out, Rob Mullins got on whatever Facebook stream that they unleashed and told you, hey, it's all about we watch all the games. We watch all the games. That's why they release them on Tuesday and don't release them on Sunday morning. They give the committee time to watch all the games. We use our eye test. So when you hear words like eye test and watch all the games, that says something. Did your eye test and anybody watching at 855-212-4227 tell you that Ohio State in a big spot maybe didn't take Wisconsin as serious as they should have and trail 21-7? Should it matter that they rallied in the second half and won the game anyway? Is all we're looking for is the end result? Or are we taking games at a half-by-half, quarter-by-quarter basis when there's such a thin line and figuring it out? But the other side of this is the committee's eye test and their watching of games throughout the year to get us to the point that the regular season is over and we entered conference championship Saturday told us that Georgia was the fourth best team in the nation. And Georgia got to play the second-best team in the nation, LSU, in the SEC title game, in a win-and-in scenario for a college football playoff for them. And unlike what Ohio State did versus Wisconsin, LSU never allowed Georgia in this game. Jake Fromm might have played his way out of day one in the NFL draft if he was still there. And ultimately, They were embarrassed, whipped, and it looked a lot like a college football playoff game we would have saw last year in the semifinal. LSU looked like they were playing an AAC team in Georgia. And the committee believed that Georgia was the fourth best team entering this weekend. So if we are to take the committee at their word and their beliefs and their eye test and what watching games told them up until this point, then what LSU did on Saturday in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, or not the Superdome, whatever they're calling that place that Arthur Blank built. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Thank you. I've been there. Whatever happened there in what was essentially a home game for the Georgia Bulldogs, flocked to by Georgia fans, they were never in the game. And if LSU can extinguish, I'm all over the place with words here on Saturday night. Extinguish, thank you. I'm not passing an English exam tonight. If they could do that to the fourth best team in the nation in what was essentially a home game, despite it was a neutral site, then why on earth would they at Sunday at noon Eastern not be proclaimed the number one team in the nation after Ohio State was down 21-7 at half at Wisconsin? To me, and I know the point of sports radio is to have debate, and we will have debate, and good debate, I hope, at 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, at MrazCBS, MrazCBS. To me, there is no debate now. The biggest intrigue becomes who is the one seed, but there really should be no question. The one seed, based on everything the committee has led us to believe to this point, is now LSU. And I'm sorry, Columbus. I'm sorry, Ohio State fans. You laid an egg in one half, and what you did in the second half really doesn't matter. This needed to be a 60-minute effort, and you came up short after knowing that LSU had demolished what the committee had thought was the fourth best team in the nation. And I know Joel Klatt at the end of the Big Ten championship game on Fox was really selling the case for Ohio State as the one. And this is what they will tell you. Ohio State played 13 games. They won all 13. They ended up winning all 13 by double digits. They beat five ranked teams, all by an average of 25-plus points per game. LSU had only beaten four ranked teams. They did not play an FCS team. All three of their out-of-conference opponents played in conference championships. Two of the three won. That is the case for Ohio State as the one. And that all looks fun, right? You read that and you go, I buy it. Ohio State, number one team in the nation. But, look, you can give me your five ranked teams. You can beat me. You can give me a cute win over Penn State. You can give me two cute wins over Wisconsin. Give me beating up on Michigan State all you want. The fact of the matter remains, Alabama and Georgia both were ranked inside the college football playoff standings at the and by inside, I don't mean the top 25, I mean inside the top four by the time they met LSU. And LSU beat both of them by double digits and completely dismantled Georgia. LSU now in a year with three unbeaten teams, and again, I still wonder and think Clemson could be the best team in the nation, but I can only go based on resume. Three unbeaten teams. There is no debate. LSU is so far and away the best team in the country and absolutely deserves the feast on Oklahoma in the college football semifinal while Ohio State and Clemson have to fight it out. Is LSU now clearly the number one team in the nation? Call me at 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4227. For CBS and tweets at MrazCBS, MrazCBS. Your reactions on the phones and tweets to college football Saturday and where everything will shake out in less than 10 hours in the college football playoff rankings, all to come on the phones again at 855-212-4227 and tweets at MrazCBS. We'll get into plenty of NFL. If you're looking to talk a little pro football, of course we're going to talk NFL. It's a big monster weekend. Also, when we come back, Ole Miss plays the Lane game. Will they regret this hire? It's Sean Marash Show.
It's Sean Marash on CBS Sports Radio. It's Sean Marash time on CBS Sports Radio.
Under the ice and snow from the midnight.
Let's rock on this Saturday night into a Sunday morning. Conference championship weekend, a big moving day in the NFL. And you guys have lit up the phone, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Hank is in Seattle on CBS Sports Radio. Hank, you started off. Welcome inside the Pork Store. What's going on?
Yes, I've got two things I want to talk about, so I'll try to get to them quickly.
All right.
The first thing is I think that an 18 playoff would be most ideal. And to make it so that the games are still important and people are trying to win, teams 1 through 4 would host home games against teams 5 through 8. So, like, 1 would host 8 and so forth. And
that's a cool idea. I doubt that probably happens because they're probably going to look to check more bowl boxes, but I'd be very much in favor of that.
No, I mean, you just keep the bowl games the way they are. You know, you're just talking about 4 more teams, but the thing that it's going to do, instead of, like, having, like, 6 or 7 schools, like, fan bases thinking they can make it, you get, like, 20, because there'll be a lot more teams that could make it in, you know? Like,
well, and Hank, to your point, the idea of playoff expansion and what people want to rein on it with, they will tell you that, well, you'll make the regular season not matter as much, where I would argue, oh, no, far more games would matter, because more teams, even if with 2 losses, would be involved. I mean, how many more games on rivalry weekend would be into knowing, hey, a 2-loss team is still alive here fighting for their lives? And in reality, look, Wisconsin and Minnesota played that game last week knowing even if they won, they were getting an invite to the Big Ten championship game, but even by winning the Big Ten championship, they'd have no shot. When they're playing that game knowing, hey, we have a shot, we win, we're going to be a wild card, we can end up in a playoff. You're expanding, by playoff expansion, you're expanding the regular season actually mattering.
No, absolutely. And then teams are also going to be less scared of scheduling tough games because the strength of schedule is going to matter more than anything because you're definitely going to want to have a home game. So I think that you'll see teams. But then also, like, if you do schedule the game, you've got the safety net of knowing, like, hey, if I lose the game, I could still,
right,
like, run the table and
right,
make it.
And the other part of this, Hank, and I'm going to get to this next hour as well, if you are a school like, let's say, Appalachian, Boise State, now obviously these schools are doing a good enough job recruiting as it is, but could you imagine those schools being able to sell the recruits that you'll also have a realistic shot at making a college football playoff?
Yeah, because, I mean, I think that it would be awesome to see a team like Boise play a team like Alabama Sunday. I mean, that's going to get people
right,
excited. And,
you're getting blowouts in the college football playoff anyway. You might as well get, you know, have more teams getting a shot.
No, absolutely. And one last thing, I just think that this Clemson team's actually better than the one last year.
They may be.
For the 28-game winning streak, they've got a scoring advantage of 934 points, plus 934 points over those 28 games. That's almost 34 points a game average. Trevor Lawrence has never trailed in a game in the second half. Obviously, he's never lost a game, but he's never even been in a position where he's been. I mean, that game in North Carolina, if they had scored that 2-point conversion, they still had a minute and a half left, and who doesn't think that Trevor Lawrence is going to drive the ball down the field and win the
right
game? So.
Right. No, I appreciate the call, Hank. And again, everybody just points to the fact that the ACC stinks. I get it. And the fact that North Carolina took them to the brink and needed a 2-point conversion try where they could have beat them. Again, I will tell you, is it Clemson's fault that Texas A&M stunk, that Jimbo Fisher didn't have his act together? It was not. Clemson may be the best team in the nation. You cannot put them as a 1 or 2 over Ohio State and LSU based on resume, but that doesn't mean they may not be the best team, and they'll have their opportunity to prove such. I mean, if it's Ohio State, or I mean, I guess if it's LSU, even though I doubt very much that LSU will be the 2 at this point, if it is one of those teams facing Clemson, that is must-watch theater in a couple weeks on a Saturday night. Larry is in Cleveland. Larry, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Charles? Hey, happy holidays, first of all.
You too, Larry. What's going on?
LSU right now, I mean, even you said Ohio State was number one, Sean, to me. It was always LSU number one. That's who I think it was, who straightened the schedule. There's no question about it. And I'll tell you what, with Coach Orgeron, for LSU to keep him as a coach, and what they did this year too, Sean, to convert to a wide-open type offense.
Oh, it's completely changed the way offense is played at LSU. Completely changed.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Mostly by power football. They're, you got to give them a commending job. And I'm glad the Buckeyes is in there, too. Don't get me wrong. But right now, you have to beat the champ to be the champ. And right now, it has to be Clemson, I think. And they're very low, like you said. And I think right now their rating, it looks like it could be, I think Ohio State should be playing Clemson.
Right. I believe that will happen. And by the way, everybody pumping their chest that Ohio State should be one and saying it's ridiculous to say so, because look at the look at their non-conference opponents in the chant. Look, I get it. Florida Atlantic, Cincinnati, Miami, Ohio. Reign supreme in their conferences. Relax on the conferences they played in. Relax. Steve is in Ohio. Steve, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't understand. Non-conference Ohio State don't look great.
Well, hold on. Non-conference Ohio State, this is funny because I just kind of rained on it. They really don't deserve to be rained on. They did play the best teams in the other conferences. When you consider Florida Atlantic, Cincinnati, Miami of Ohio.
Florida Atlantic for real.
I know, I agree with you. I'm making, it sounds stupid because I'm being hypocritical on both sides here. But it's not as if they played Alabama State.
All year long, they played seven quarters of bad football. Two of them tonight. But how are they worse than LSU with a guy that could not play at Ohio State? Why do you think Joe Burrow went to LSU?
Well, he went because, obviously, Justin Fields went to Ohio State.
Because he wasn't good enough to be a Buckeye.
Well, time out. Then LSU just beat Georgia. And Justin Fields, where was he at before he was a Buckeye?
Georgia's a chump.
Okay, well, hold on now. Steve, you just bashed LSU because Joe Burrow wasn't, quote-unquote, good enough to be a Buckeye, right? All right, Then Justin Field technically, even though we all know the truth, wasn't good enough to be a Georgia Bulldog because he wasn't going to start over Jake Fromm,
who just lost
to Joe Burrow. So you can't make that argument. No, hold on, Steve. You want to be an Ohio State homer, that's fine. You cannot bash Joe Burrow because he wasn't good enough to be a Buckeye while pumping your chest for your guy who sat behind Jake Fromm and left because he wasn't going to play over Jake Fromm, who Joe Burrow just beat. It's a big triangle there. You can't do that. It's hypocritical.
The problem with Joe Burrow, I wanted him to be our quarterback.
Okay. So now you like him.
Urban Meyer wouldn't play him because Urban Meyer loves the black quarterback that can run.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Steve. All over the place. That's a guy who just needs to go to sleep for the night. Go Tucker out, Steve. All right, I did mention Lane Kiffin, and I see some of your phone calls still there at 855-212-4227. We're going to keep taking your calls on the College Football Playoff all night. Let them rip at 855-212-4CBS. I'm getting killed by Ohio State fans on Twitter at MirazCBS. We'll read your tweets and have conversation there as well. But I did want to introduce Lane Kiffin into the situation. Since we are talking about who Ohio State beat this year out of conference, they did open up the year beating FAU, who ends up winning their conference. Lane Kiffin, what a tremendous job he's done. Now Lane Kiffin takes the job at Ole Miss. He gets another crack at the power conferences, another crack at the SEC. And Lane, the question now is, at age 44, going to be 45 this May, is Lane Kiffin more mature now and able to handle a situation like coaching in the SEC or Pac-12? Like he's proven before, his biggest issue was that he couldn't stay put. He was always looking for the next best thing. He was a coach, the youngest coach before Sean McVay was in the NFL. The youngest coach ever to have a head coaching job, off being the offensive coordinator at USC, gets the head coaching job at the Raiders and spends the first year not liking Jamarcus Russell, wasn't in favor of it, goes in year two, basically doesn't want to be there, is already looking how to get out and get to Tennessee. Gets to Tennessee, while there is a dumpster fire. He's calling out Urban Meyer about calling recruits on campus, even though you're not allowed to call out that and mention about recruits. He places a call to Alshon Jeffrey, who at the time is trying to go to South Carolina, tells Alshon Jeffrey basically he'd be parking cars if he goes to South Carolina. If he wants to make the NFL, he better play with him. By the way, Alshon made it to South Carolina and ended up being just fine. Lane Kiffin was an absolute train wreck and great theater to watch. But he bolts Tennessee after a year to the point where, you know, students are lighting fires on campus. They can't believe what Lane Kiffin's doing. He goes to USC, and by the time he gets to USC, there's actually some stability. It seemed like he always wanted to be there. The problem is he got there right when Pete Carroll was leaving the program in ruins. So for 4 years with a ton of sanctions, there was not much any coach, let alone Lane Kiffin, could have done. Ultimately, his time runs short at USC. He ends up having to reinvent himself working under Nick Saban at Alabama. Eventually gets his name good enough again to be a head coach, goes to a smaller conference with FAU, and turns FAU and Conference USA to a powerhouse of sorts for what they could be, and now gets a shot back with Ole Miss. So I hope I connected dots quickly enough there for you, Lane Kiffin, without getting too much into details. But the biggest problem with Lane Kiffin is was his immaturity and his willingness to always want the next job. I think what Lane Kiffin has proven since working with Nick Saban and going and being humbled at FAU and building that program out of nothing into something tells me if I am Nick Saban, if I am Kirby Smart, if I am Dan Mullen, it tells me if I'm Ed Orgeron that there is another power player in town for recruits. And if I am a young recruit and Lane Kiffin at 45 years old, who is way more relatable to me than a Nick Saban or even a Kirby Smart, who are great recruiters and great coaches and can sell their program on its own, I think Ole Miss, this gamble, is less of a gamble than you think, and Ole Miss is going to be a serious player again in the SEC within 3 years. I think Lane Kiffin's grown up, and I think Lane Kiffin can still go out there and recruit in the SEC with the best of them and can relate to kids a lot better than some of these older coaches can and can sell things more than just winning. I love this hire by Ole Miss, and I believe that Ole Miss will get to an SEC title game with Lane Kiffin coaching. How about that? 855-212-4227. You guys are strong on the phones. We will continue that conversation. Also, introduce a little NFL. You can't make it up with the Cleveland Browns. Every week you think you're not going to talk about them, and every week something else pops up. Will there be no Dell in Cleveland in 2020?
It's Sean Marash on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Sean Marash on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the Sean Marash Show on CBS Sports Radio. I just think Kevin McKeon's in a good flow here with music. Sometimes when it's Horowitz and Graceffo will be, you know, playing whatever comes to his mind. We'll be playing the chicken dance at one point coming back from break. But McKeon's got us in a nice little flow here. I feel like I'm skating on the ice for like an NHL shoot-around. That's what McKeon makes me feel like right now. I'm liking it. I'm digging it. Good job, Brian.
Can I get a promotion?
Well, you'd have to talk to maybe guys like Pete Bellotti for that, but you know, he's got people training that bang out sick.
Who?
Bob is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Bob, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Mraz. So I had a couple of subjects all pertaining to the same thing.
Okay.
So
you already got the word pertaining right, so that's one better than I would. Let's go.
Well, it's tough to do with as much as I've drank. So,
well, hold on, Bob. Now I'm far more fascinated. What'd you drink tonight?
Dr. Pepper and Jack.
Wow. Okay. So you were all in on the Dr. Pepper advertisements on the college football weekend. You had to have a little Jack with Dr. Pepper. I love it.
Well, you know, everybody says Jack and Dyke or
Jack and Coke.
But, you know, so anyways.
Okay.
It wasn't a plug, honestly.
No. I was curious.
I would have asked for money. anyway, so I agree about your whole thing about college football playoffs. So I want to take this to kind of a ridiculous conclusion to include, you know, we talk about athletes being paid.
Right.
And, you know, I get the eight-team playoff, but think about if you go to a 16-team playoff, which I'm not necessarily a proponent, but in order to get the athletes paid, if you had a 16-team playoff.
Right. You're starting to lose me here, Bob.
Nope, I'm sorry.
Put down the Dr. Pepper. Finish the take.
16-team playoff. And in the first round, the winner of round one gets $25,000 a player, and the other team gets $15,000 a player.
Well, now you're really walking a fine line there, Bob.
I'm just saying they want to pay players, and so whoever dresses for that game gets paid, and then You go to the next round and you double the money, and then you go to the next round and you double the money. So you get the real money for 16 teams. So you take the and get rid of the conference championships because they're meaningless.
Well, Bob, thanks for the call. And let me just say this because we have other calls on the line. If your point is try to correlate making the college football playoff and winning throughout the college football playoff with winning with paying college athletes, on the sheer surface, without actually thinking logistically about it, I don't hate the idea. But when you think logistically about it, off the top of my head, you will run into some of the same problems that we see today with the idea of paying college athletes. So now, why does that not matter when we have a 68-team college basketball tournament? You're not going to pay them when we've already expanded that field over and over again? What does that mean for some of the lower brought-in sports? Now, those athletes aren't good enough to get paid. Also, you have a committee that is made up of people and athletic directors at certain schools. Now, they're still determining who makes the playoff. Are you going to have a set structure of what it takes to be the 16-team playoff? I think you'll always have some sort of committee, and then won't there be some kind of politicking behind that committee when money gets involved and paying athletes gets involved? So while on the idea on the surface seems right, it's so outlandish that, look, Bob, appreciate the call. Enjoy your Dr. Pepper and Jax. Andrew in Texas. Andrew, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
What's up, Andrew? How are you?
I'm good. That was an entertaining phone call there about Dr. Pepper and Jack.
Yeah, I might test that out there in Patriots Chiefs. I got to be honest. He's got me intrigued.
Well, I mean, I could see kind of where he was going, but that's not nearly where I was headed on that. But I mean, I have an opinion on that, but I'm not gonna waste your time with that.
No problem. Let's hope you head somewhere. What do you got?
Well, I think, honestly, and you know, everybody's talking about Ohio State being number one. And, you know, you can make a fight for that and everything like that. I firmly believe that the BCS committee has a plan. They always do. Everything's about ratings and money, right?
Right.
So I firmly believe that LSU is going to be number one.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to see the number four team be Oklahoma. And it doesn't matter who is the number two and three team between Clemson.
Right, you're playing at a neutral site anyway.
Right. It doesn't matter, right? Because everybody wants to see LSU play Clemson.
Well, I don't.
And that's what.
Andrew,
that's what's going to draw the money, right?
Andrew, I mean, Ohio State might draw more money than both of those teams. Thanks for the call. A little slow on the delivery there, right, Andrew. But are we assuming that Ohio State is not a moneymaker? I mean, come on. Ohio State is one of the prominent name brands. Derek tweets in, this was Wisconsin Super Bowl, 27 unanswered points. OSU beat Michigan, Penn State, and Wisconsin. UG lost to South Carolina. The whole South is overrated. OSU should be one still. Whiskey gave them everything and ultimately got pounded. Look, all right, first of all, little food for thought, and I don't care where the committee ranks them, do not use beating Michigan in your playoff resume builder if you're Ohio State. Do not. Do not do that. Don't use beating Michigan and then discount LSU beating the likes of Auburn and Alabama. Please, get out of here with this. Reed's got his game face on, tweets. Don't be tripping, dude. If a number two ranked team beats a number four ranked team, that's exactly what the outcome the committee expected. So why does LSU get to jump to number one when Ohio State did what we expected as well? So no change to top three. See, you're wrong there. They were ranked fourth, Georgia, because they thought they were the fourth best team in the country, and they wanted to set the tone that Georgia wasn't on the outside looking in when they beat LSU. I think the committee would have preferred Georgia winning this game over Oklahoma and got their two SEC teams. And then had it lined up where Georgia could play Ohio State in the first game. Ohio State, the problem again with college football and the way that there's no set standard here is that now you're breaking down big games into halves, which unfortunately is what we've been trained to do. The whole game and the whole outcome matters. If you just woke up and you read the score and you saw Ohio State beat Wisconsin by two scores, you would say, hey, Ohio State did what they had to do, LSU did what they had to do. The problem is you have to watch the games, and the committee brags about watching games. 21-7 at half, looking flat as anything, no matter what they did in the second half matters when you're not playing the fourth best team in the nation like LSU was, and LSU dismantled them from the opening kick on. That matters. Sebastian is in Connecticut. Sebastian, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, hey, thank you for having me on. You know, I like hearing this show, and I have a lot to talk about. So first of all, LSU is going to be number one. They already are number one. Ohio State, LSU is number one. Ohio State's number two, Clemson's number three. That's what's going to happen. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that at this point, as I said, I think that seems obvious to me.
Yes. Yes. And also, Clemson, their winning streak is ridiculous. What was it, like 28?
Yes.
What is LSU winning streak? Do we know that?
I do not. I do not off the top of my head. I mean, obviously right. This year, I don't know how far it dates back to last year. I don't even remember if they won their bowl game last year, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So that's also another thing. Clemson, a lot of people are sleeping on them because they didn't have such a, such a big schedule with the ranked teams and everything.
But right, right. I agree. I think people are sleeping on Clemson, and I agree that knowing what we know about Dabo and Trevor Lawrence and seeing what they did last year, to me, matters in my perception's mind of what I think of them this year. But you cannot count their win streak dating back the last couple of years to compare it to LSU and Ohio State. In college football, the teams change year to year.
It does change every year, but consistency does not.
Right. Okay, I understand that. But because LSU just burst on the scene back this year and Joe Burrow hadn't been there, now everything they did this year in your mind maybe wouldn't matter compared to Clemson being the best team in the nation. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You're not basing off of 2017-2018. It's about what you did in 2019. I guess it's about a little bit about what you did previously in that, but even so, people were ready if Clemson would have lost somehow in this ACC championship to pull Clemson with one loss out of this completely, and that tells you what people think year to year. It's all about the year that you're playing, not the previous years.
Okay, yeah, I agree on that. But that's 28 games. That's still a lot.
It is. And look, if you told me today, and thanks for the call, Sebastian, if on December 8th, 2019, you came to me and said, I am telling you, I had a dream. I am some kind of, what do you call those, the people that look ahead and they can see the future? A soothsayer, James Graceffo tells me. And they say, Clemson wins the national championship. Is anybody stunned? No, you wouldn't be stunned. You've seen it. You've seen that story before. You know Dabo. You know Trevor Lawrence. You wouldn't be stunned. It's impossible to know how good they are really based on the fact that the ACC has totally hit the skids. Totally. That being said, we can only judge what we've seen in 2019 versus big opponents. And I've seen Ohio State versus big opponents. I've seen LSU versus big opponents. They are the top two teams in the nation based off that. And based off everything the committee has laid out for us to tell us what their eyes, not our eyes, what their eyes tell us, what them bringing about watching games tells us. They told you how good they thought Georgia was. Before that, they told you how good they thought Alabama was. LSU ended both of their seasons effectively, even though Auburn really ended Alabama's season, who, by the way, LSU beat also. Penn State wins nice. Wisconsin wins nice. Michigan wins okay. LSU's wins are actually more impressive, and I don't want to hear about buys or out-of-conference opponents. We'll continue this conversation on the phones on the Sean Mraz Show. LSU, are they the clear number one after conference championship Saturday? Plus, why, if you don't think expansion is needed after this week, you're still a fool. The Sean Mraz Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.